And welcome back, y'all, to Rosie on the House,
where Jennifer and I are just recovering from a trip to the East Coast, where we ate in fine restaurants that were built as homes 274 years ago. That was a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm. Lots of history in that room.
That was a lot of history in that room. The original floors. The original floors. If a building could talk. The Elk Ridge Furnace Inn, built in 1874. Well, we're here talking about your house in Arizona. If you have any question about any project you're trying to tackle, you can call toll-free. At the top of the hour, we cleared all the lines, took all the people that were on hold and got their questions. I know Bill had a question about garage door we didn't get to answer. Bill, if you want to try and ring back in, I promise as soon as you show up, we'll get to you. Any of the rest of you homeowners that want to talk to us, give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348, and we'll do everything we can to put our building experience in Arizona to work for you. You know, Jennifer mentioned it earlier in the show today. We're asked all the time, would we ever consider taking the show national? And I'll tell you, when I travel and I go to places that aren't in the Sun Belt, places like Washington, D.C., Bethesda, Maryland, where we were this past week, they had temperature. The week before we got there, they had temperatures of 9 degrees.
I didn't even have clothes to bring for that. I was going to have to borrow some.
Yeah, we were going to have to go clothes shopping just to have the appropriate wear. I could wear all my snow skiing stuff, but that's hardly appropriate for walking into a business meeting, right? I had no clothes for 9 degrees. So by the time we got here, it was a pleasant 32. We hardly saw freezing, but a morning or two. Got to the high 50s, low 60s. So we timed all that just perfectly. But you sit down in these homes where these remodelers are working, where you're looking at granite block foundations. You're looking at electrical systems and plumbing systems that are older than the state of Arizona. You're looking at roofs and windows and heating and cooling systems that are 150, 175. Like I said, we ate dinner in the Elk Ridge Furnace Inn that was 274 years old. And when you take a look at all the homes, the thousands of homes that I've remodeled in Arizona, and you average their age all together, you come up with an age of 13 years old. The average home we remodel is 13 years old. Now, the oldest home we've ever remodeled was actually the old Casablanca Inn in Paradise Valley when they converted it from an inn and resort to individual condos. We actually went in there and did quite a bit of the work converting many of those units into permanent homes. And that was all originally built with adobe in the early 1900s. So that was a very interesting project. We loved working on that. But that is absolutely the oldest home I've ever touched. We did a historic old home up in Flagstaff on Butler, just west of City Hall, for a family in Phoenix who owned it up there. And it was a beautiful, lots of woodwork, paneling, wainscoting. It was a gorgeous home. We really enjoyed doing that. But I just wouldn't be able to answer questions from Alice in Cleveland, who had a question about her oil-fired furnace. So we'll just stick to Arizona. We love Arizona, and we love helping you, the Arizona homeowners. If you've got a question, you want to give us a call, 1-888-767-4348. We'll put you in touch with us for the next 50 minutes. Now, last hour, we just touched briefly, and we can't even touch this subject without it causing a little flare-up. Every time we touch the subject, we get several phone calls on it.
Must be APS.
It's the APS rate that we were trying to talk people through the last hour just briefly, and we got a call from a Christine who says that, look, APS is petitioning the Corporation Commission to lower their rates because of the new tax bill that President Trump and his buddies got through. But that's a completely different issue from the rate change that went through last summer. So don't confuse the two things. They're completely separate items, and we will keep you all posted. Now, we publish a calendar for the first time ever. You can get it by...
You can email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com and let us know you want one. And the next batch will be going out like this week. So if you want to catch it soon, you can get us an email. It's free. We mail it to you. It has talking points each month that coincide with our broadcast. And as we do the broadcast, we're building those out so that you can just you can actually go on to our website. It lives there digitally, and you can click through to the podcast, to any articles we have, to past FAQs we have, any information we have to build that out. So
it's a very content-heavy calendar about Arizona home ownership. So I saw the last bunch that went out. Why are we mailing to Oklahoma and Wisconsin and Vermont?
Well, the guy from Oklahoma called a couple weeks ago. He said, you know, Jennifer, I live in Oklahoma, but would you send me one? I was driving through to Las Vegas, and I heard your show, and I have been listening from Oklahoma ever since. So how can I say no? Maybe he'll be a snowbird someday and come out and join us, right?
Good. Well, in that calendar, we set the topic of what the shows will be about each week. And we've divided it up into 12 major segments called months.
Funny how that works with a calendar.
And for January, it's the outdoor living, gardening, and hardscape month. And we, in the 10 o'clock hour, anytime that we have a particular topic, have been bringing in experts to talk about that topic in great detail. And we've had Nathan Angel in to talk about pavers, vertical walls, the Element product lines, the pizza ovens, the fire pits, the fireplaces, the outdoor kitchens and barbecues, the different types of pavers and how to install them, the permeable pavers that we're going to talk just a little bit more about today. And today we wanted to talk about sustainable backyard landscaping. And this is, all of you that subscribe to our e-newsletter, this is what came to your email box just this past week. 5 ways to make your desert yard more sustainable. Not just in water use, but that's where we're going to get a big part of our conversation going. The first thing we'd like you to do is we're going to try and get you to design and install a yard that's about as low a maintenance as possible, all right?
And low water use as well.
And low water use. So the first thing we're going to have you consider for that sustainable landscaping is let's design a desert-style landscape as opposed to that Midwest...
Lush green lawn.
Lush green look. We're in the desert. Let's live with the desert. We encourage you to use a design that's called xeriscaping. And that's using plants that are either native to our Sonoran Desert or do really, really well in our arid Sonoran Desert. So we want you to be thinking about things that are succulents, low water use, and don't require a lot of trimming or hedging or fertilizing or care. They can be existing happily in your yard just the way it is because they were living there in your yard before the graders came and plowed them under to create space for your house. So design a desert style landscaping. It's called xeriscaping. You know, we would encourage you in generally speaking to avoid the tropical plants.
You know, Jay always says, Jay Harper, our regular guest in the 8 o'clock hour, always says, if you don't see it growing here, there's probably a reason. So even if you miss something or you'd like to try something, do your research. You know, and if it's not here, then maybe look into what it does require and be certain that you can create that environment. For instance, avocado trees, you know, we love avocados here and how great the plant looks, but they don't do really great here. It's too hot and it's too cold.
Greg Peterson was talking about that in the 8 o'clock hour.
With the fruit trees and stuff.
Just one of the tough trees to grow, but there's others.
Well, and there's flowers that, you know, a lot of people like the azaleas and the hydrangeas. Can't even say them, much less grow them. But there's just things that we would love to have. And but we can't. Or, you know, and Jay says, as soon as I tell somebody you can't grow that there, they show up at my nursery or at my doorstep saying, look, I grew this.
Right.
But just know it's going to be a challenge, and it may take more water than you're willing to expend or that's really prudent.
So the xeriscaping avoids those tough plants that are growing. It's not to say you can't create a microclimate and create that space and that little micro area that'll do well. But you've got to be willing to work really hard at it. Then the next step in the desert style xeriscaping is consider shade trees and several shade trees. It doesn't mean it all has to be cactus. It can be big shade trees. Of course, the native mesquites and the Palo Verdes, there's about 20 different varieties of each that can all do really, really well. And be strategic with where you plant those trees to try and capture the shade in strategic areas like the south and the west side of your home, in particular the west side of your home. Try and create a shaded environment. These trees can get really big, massive, and they won't need to be put on a permanent water or dripping system, because they've lived here happily for thousands and thousands of years.
And once a month we have John Eisenhower in of Integrity Tree, and he always comes in with his favorite tree of the month. And we post those each month, but that'll give you a good idea what would do well here as well.
Other trees that do well, other than the native mesquites and Palo Verdes, are the ash, the elm, the pistache, and the oak. All beautiful, big shade canopy trees that do great in Arizona.